All right, this is Jim Yule, and I'm joined today by Frank Days. And Frank, I can't even remember your title right now because I know
That's
you're
okay.
in a new job. Why don't you just tell me first of all about your new job and what you're doing and a little bit about that.
I know, in conventional terms, I guess it is a new job. I've been in it about 14 months now.
Okay. It's been that long.
In startup land, it's, you know, dog years. So I think if the 14 months is more like, I don't know, 6 or 7 years. But no, that's fine, Jim. The name of the company is QuarrelSense, QuarrelSense. It's an Israeli-based company, but we're here in most of the operations are here in the U.S., at least the sales and marketing team. And I run the marketing team there. We're a company, it's about 45 people, venture funded, 7-year-old company, about, you know, roster of who's who in terms of financial services and telecom companies. But basically, we help big companies manage their enterprise applications. That's if you have a problem, something's operating slowly, our software helps people identify the root cause of the problem and helps them rapidly solve those problems.
Okay, sounds good. So, Frank, I've been following your blog for years now, and I really like what you've done. Tell me a little bit about how you got started with agile marketing.
Sure, and it's kind of funny because I kind of backed into the idea of agile indirectly, and it started, I guess, with the fact that I've been running marketing teams and startups for about, well, coming on 10 or 12 years now, and early on in my career, I hated writing marketing plans. And it just was, I always felt that they were fairly useless, that they had a really short shelf life, particularly in a startup environment. They just really didn't stay relevant for very long. So you'd spend a lot of effort building, say, a 6-month plan, and then, you know, 2 or 3 months in, you end up recasting it, recalculating. And then I kind of realized, why bother on a marketing plan? And the other story, and I've written about this on my Tangy Slice blog a number of years ago, and I think I've actually reposted it on my Agile marketing blog, but about 54 pages of nothing. And it was the charred remains of a predecessor of mine and someone I had taken over for, and he had written this 54-page marketing plan, which had almost nothing in it.
Yep.
And I thought, well, that actually cost the guy the job. So
right.
Long story short, there were a couple of points in my career where I realized Agile was really important. And the first one was I worked for a company where we were often in a recruiting frenzy because we were growing quite quickly and we couldn't recruit as fast as we needed to, and we were pretty concerned that we were growing 60-70% a year, and my boss used to always say, recruiting is not an excuse, you know, not growing because we can't stay fully staffed is just not an excuse, which, you know, you've been in some pretty fast growing environments and I'm sure you've heard that same song. So
I have,
this CEO used to always go, okay, every morning at 8 o'clock, we're going to meet and you're going to tell me what you did yesterday and what you're going to do today. And, you know, and that was, we didn't call it agile. We didn't call it anything. It just was, this is what we did when we got into a recruiting panic. And, you know, I then, a job later, was working with a team. The developers were running Agile. They were scrumming. And it was, a company that was relatively small. We had about 100 people, and it was an online business. And they ran Agile. And then it sort of dawned on me, I kind of indirectly managed my marketing teams that way anyways. And what we then did is we said, you know what? Development's running Agile. Why doesn't marketing not? Why don't we go that way? I never liked writing the marketing plan. So we immediately after the dev team would scrum, marketing team would scrum.
Right.
And, you know, it worked out really great when you're in a team that's running full Agile.
Yeah.
So then, you know, I left that job and went to go work for Novell for a few years. And, you know, I went into Novell and there was some really interesting things I learned there because I kind of brought that Agile methodology with me. You learn a lot of different things about it. But one of the, you know, Novell was, you know, once, I guess you can still say once great. I mean, they were the fastest company ever to $50 million in revenue, and then spent, you know, after Microsoft defeated them, spent 10 years of irrelevance before they got it like a fish recently. But I spent some time trying to sell the idea of Agile there in the marketing team, and I ran social media and search engine marketing for Novell. And I learned that, you know, some of the, in bigger companies, and we can talk about this a little later if you want, the kind of the difference between Agile in big companies and Agile in smaller companies, it was very difficult selling the idea because they were a lot of former IBMers and they were really tied into their interlock process and their multi-layer 6-month planning and all that stuff. And I was fortunate to have a couple of Skunk Works projects, content marketing projects and things like that, where we were running Agile and found them to be quite effective at from time to results was quite fast and right. pretty effective.
Well, so, wait, Frank, can I stop you there for a minute?
Sure,
I am
sure.
fascinated about this issue of how you introduce Agile into companies. Because
right.
people ask about that all the time, right? And in particular, right. how do you introduce it into a large company versus a startup, okay? So just
right.
elaborate a little bit more on that.
So we started in the small company. I mean, I run marketing and I recruited the team. And, you know, I was brought in to fix. This is generally the situation I'm brought into. The marketing team's broken.
Right.
Predecessor, in this case, was capable but underpowered. And they brought me in. I was probably the first real marketing hire that they had.
Right.
And, you know, as brought in to do some very specific things, and Agile is one thing I sold in the interview process. My boss, the CEO, was a software developer by trade, so he got it. Like, he immediately got it. And
sure.
When I was interviewing to leave Novell, a couple of the jobs that I interviewed for, the CEOs were classic technologist CEOs, and Agile for marketing was something that they just got and latched onto in a heartbeat. Like, they're like, this guy gets it. He operates the way we operate.
Right.
He understands. One of those rare birds. I'm a closet geek. You know,
right.
read books, Kevin Mitnick books in on the side. But the other side of it is that, you know, I had the good fortune at Coral Sense to just bring in the methodology myself because it was my team. And same thing when I was at First Giving. I ran the team, so I could make that decision and implement it. And, you know, when I brought it into Coral Sense, I had a distributed team at the time and new guys, and they were fairly accommodating. They also, you know, they're sitting here thinking, well, this is the new guy, we'll try it. And quickly, I think that the thing that sells it the best out of any of these things is results. I mean, is when you can quickly accomplish things. I think that was the thing that sold my boss at Coral Sense on the idea, is that he'd dump a massive list on me and you know, for better or for worse, was pretty regularly wanting to make changes and pivots, and we could make the pivots very quickly, for better or for worse, again, but make those pivots quickly. Contrast that to like a company like Novell, you know, $1 billion Fortune, you know, S&P 500 company, you know, 30-year-old, 25-year-old company, trying to find its way. A lot of established processes, a lot of established people doing things a certain way. Trying to, you know, that was one of the things early on in the process. When I first got there, I thought, I'll try to sell the idea of Agile. And I was trying to get head of solution marketing, my boss, who's the head of corporate communications, and then the CMO, who I had his ear because I was helping him with blogging. Just didn't get it. They just didn't get it at all.
Right.
So the way that I sold it was a little bit of a bottom-up approach. We had a Skunkworks project. We were trying to launch a content marketing portal to pilot a demand gen program. In this case, it was around security log management software.
Right.
Very sexy stuff, of course. I guess it's sexy if you're Splunk and you just IPO'd for a crazy amount of money. But for us at Novell, you know, we weren't necessarily the number one or number two player in the market. But we launched a site called Log Management Central. You know, we rolled it out in about 4 days. We went from like domain to live in about 4 days, which is, you know, amazing.
Yep.
You know, and then we had it generating leads in about a week. And then we were on ranked. I think we were in the top 50 in Google after 30 days. We were on page one in 60 days, and then we were on position three after 90 days. And then we got it to, after I left, we got to position two, after about 6 months, and that was the only one in front of us was Wikipedia. So now, and that was pretty amazing. Now, the thing that for that reference story, I always explain that we had a cross-functional team, and we scrummed 3 times a week. And when we involved a lot of stakeholders. Now, I had one of the biggest, you know, challenges in rolling out a website. I was in the marketing team, yet it was a web project, so we needed to have some technology. We needed to roll out a website, and we involved someone from the web team, and, you know, engaged the head of web marketing, who was a, you know, colleague of mine who I got along with really well. I involved him early. He put one of his guys on the team, and we talked through the different options. And the cool thing about this is that rolling out at Novell at the time, rolling out the site, if we went through the official channels using all the official, you know, project planning, strategy documents, all the traditional kind of waterfall, the waterfall process, which is, you know, which you see in bigger companies to roll out technologies, We would have been live maybe in 90 days.
Right.
And we were on page, we were in position 3 in 90 days. And the site was throwing 50, 75 leads a month.
Right.
So I guess those kinds of reference stories are great and interesting. And at the end of the day, it's results that drive really anything.
Right.
And that's always been the way I've tried to sell the idea, or at least it's been, for me personally, a secret weapon in terms of trying to get stuff done.
Yeah. I think you're exactly right, Frank. And that's what I'm seeing in the large companies, that
right.
is the way to sell it. You can't sell it just based on, you know, the ideas and, you know, here's what Agile's about and all that other stuff. It really has to be a Skunk Works. You know, how in the world did you do that? Get a site up right. in 4 days and get to number 2 in 90 days, sort of thing.
And, yeah, and the corporate T-cells, just a really, so many people are entrenched around long-standing processes and campaign. It's interesting. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who's the managing editor at Marketing Profs, and he was talking about, he was asking me some questions about campaign planning. I said, well, you know, I'm probably not the right guy to talk to if you're looking for sort of conventional processes, but, you know, campaign planning to me is almost a waste of time, you know, and you start to think about it that way. And it's not. I mean, I'm being facetious. I mean, there are certain parts of the marketing mix for which you have to plan. I mean, I can't go and buy media insertions in certain places 2 days before.
Right.
You know, you've got to plan ahead. If there's going to be when John and I talked to Mike Volpe at HubSpot, you know, they were talking about they have to plan their annual user conference. You know, you can't plan that a month ahead. You know, you're planning that 6 months ahead. So there's some of these waterfall overlays that still come into your Agile process and kind of go. I mean, we just relaunched our website at QuarrelSense, and you know, it took us about 4 months to do it. And as they say, how do you eat the elephant? Well, we eat it one sitting at a time. And it was kind of, you know, all of our website tasks were broken down month after month after month, and eventually we got done. So,
well, you know, in some ways though, that's like what the developers do, because
right.
you know, a sprint doesn't mean that you ship at the end of every sprint, right?
Right.
I mean, sometimes
right.
you will, as you say, eat the elephant, you know, one bite at a time, or one meal at a time, one sitting at a time.
Right.
And you may not ship for 4 months, but you've been doing
totally.
Sprints along the way.
Okay. Totally. Yeah. And it comes back to, you know, Scott Brinker, who, you know, we talked about before we came on today. And I think his whole chief marketing technologist meme, I really dig, because I think he gets it, is that increasingly marketing is looking more like a technology function. Marketing is looking more and more like IT. And invariably, I think the good news is for people like you and me, who are maybe a bit of more technology biased in our life,
yeah.
is a real advantage. People who are quantitatively aligned, the creatives have a real place. But you know, you see the grumbling in the blogosphere about how the creatives, you know, the grumpy creatives are getting squeezed out, and when the analytics are kind of taken over. So,
yeah, it's probably a combination of both. I mean, I think you probably need both skills, but I think Scott.
Right.
is just brilliant about his description of marketing's use of technology and how much that's becoming a part of marketing.
Totally.
So tell me a little bit about you talked about when you came into QuarrelSense that you were brought in to make these changes, but how did you introduce them? Because not everybody was familiar with Agile marketing, and they must have had some questions. And although you kind of had the imperator to come in and do it, you still had to get everybody engaged in it and trained in it and working on the same page. So
yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, it does force people out of the giant spread, you know, the 300 cell spreadsheet into a much smaller spreadsheet. And to me, John and I observed, and you've probably noticed, is that the marketers are practicing Agile and are not quite as dogmatic as the developers are.
Right.
Developers and their burn down charts and a whole lot of things. And some of the guys that we've talked to have experienced that as well. But you know, to me, it was always about get everything into a spreadsheet. So you know, the first sprint planning meeting, I didn't call it a sprint planning meeting. I just called it a planning meeting, and we got everything. I was trying to, early on in any job, and I've done this a couple times in my career, trying to take an inventory of every single thing that every person is working on and every single thing that my boss hoped we were working on and should be working on, and trying to get everything, all, you know, 250 items that, you know, you're trying to get into the backlog.
Right.
Trying to build that first backlog, the first sprint backlog, the backlog again, yeah. is a, you know, took a good week and a half or 2 weeks. Once that's set, then, you know, it was just an issue of saying, listen, we're going to do planning meetings three times a week, short planning meetings three times a week. I didn't talk about Agile. Once we started doing it, I'd say, okay, let's kind of, what do we want to do the next 30 days? What do we want to do? And then I try to get people into the mode of, all right, what's our lead forecast, which is a very unusual, it's not something that marketers think about, but we try to forecast leads and forecast our spend on a monthly basis. So we say, you know, an example is on a given month, we'll say, okay, this month these are the programs we think we're going to run the next 30 days.
Right.
And these are how many leads that people are committing to. And this is our forecast. And then we try to work and during the month. So here it is, you know, the 11th, the 12th, you know, the 40% of the way into the month. What does it look like? So I reforecast once a week. You know, just like if I were a sales manager. And I do that on purpose to try and at least show some level of commitment and accountability to the sales team as well, to kind of delivering numbers. So we try to update the forecast once a month, and we scrum three times a week. And the interesting thing is that once you get into the habit of doing it, that people get it pretty quickly, because it eliminates a lot of anxiety. A huge amount of anxiety around the things that you are on your list that you're not working on. And it gets people very, very focused on, gee, we have we rolled out the new site. There are a bunch of 404s to fix. Okay, the next day is going to be about fixing 404s. Nothing else matters. So we put those in the active and we push a bunch of stuff back and then we drive on.
Right. You know, Yasha Kekas Wolf, who I'm sure you're familiar with, he's sure. been doing Agile for a long time. He has a really nice way of talking about this and about the whole transparency and accountability piece of Agile
totally.
Marketing. You know, I think it is powerful, because I know in my experience that when we did those 6-month marketing plans and 6-month
yep.
reviews, inevitably one part of it would be the review of the last 6 months, right? And we mm-hmm. would do this thing, and Yasha talks about this, where we would present the numbers, and we're marketers, of course, and so we present the numbers in such a way that they make us look as good as possible, you know, in doing that, right? And, you know, one of the things that I get into in talking to people about Agile is how important it is to upfront establish, okay, here are the numbers, you know, here's our
right.
forecast, here's the ones that we're going to be measured by, and put that out there, you know, as
right.
the sales force can see it, the CEO can see it, and so forth. At first, I think that can be a little bit scary for the marketing team, but then after a while, they understand, okay, this is what we're, you know, moving towards, and people start really appreciating, this is what marketing does, in a really
totally.
Positive way.
Because you eliminate the thing, I'll tell an anecdote, and I won't name names to protect the guilty in this party, but I had one boss who once said, we are just doing really awesome here in marketing all around the board except for the numbers. And I'm thinking, well, aside of the numbers, what else is there really?
Yeah,
I know that, you know, a single program can break on you and things like that, but if in aggregate your numbers are not working, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, get you fired. You know, obviously you can put your company out of business. So I think you're right. I mean, it's a part of the whole Agile mantra that I've really appreciated, is the kind of accountability and flexibility and all these different things. And, you know, it's funny, I talk with people a lot about the idea of being ruthless, and it's kind of in tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
But when you talk, you never hear ruthless and marketers. Those like words that you never hear together.
Yeah.
But I love using it in sort of scrum environments, because it does, you know, my team, when we scrum this morning, and we're looking at, okay, do we think we're going to get this done for July? And we do the kind of evaluation, we know roughly how much capacity we have. We don't do really any real sophisticated sizing of tasks in a planning book. I mean, it's really the average task. We have a good sense of our average task size and how much capacity we have. And I'm always looking at, okay, I think this month we can do sort of 85 to 90 tasks, and we've got, you know, about 20 on the active list, and we've got, you know, 40 on the backlog, and I know we're going to add another probably 20 or 30 this month. So I'm thinking, all right, we're right about on target. You know, we do this very simple math, and usually 10 or 15 tasks bleed over, and we're perfectly happy with that. Right. But the good news is that in any given month, 85 to 95% of the things that were on the original list are done. Yeah. And those are, you know, in the end of the day, the most important tasks are getting done. And things that are ad hoc that come up, that this VP of sales or the CEO says, oh my God, we absolutely positively have to do that, we get that onto the active list, and it gets done within 24 or 48 hours, pretty much every time. And that's something
and that's
that
very powerful validation for marketing, I think.
Well, you know, it's so many times the head of sales will say, I've been asking for this for months. Well, I don't hear that because they don't ask for it for months. If, you know, I'll often be brutal about the conversation and saying, listen, is this really important? Is this more important than this and this and this and this? And they say yes or no. Yep. They say, yeah, I'll say, okay, so we're going to do this and this other thing's going to get pushed back a week, but we're going to do it. We're going to do both. It's just, this is the order of operations. And that ends up being really powerful stuff.
Okay. Well, you know, we talked a little bit about before we started recording this about some of the energy behind Agile Marketing now, with, you know, the Sprint Zero event and some other things going on. Talk to me a little bit about that, about the energy you see now and what you think in terms of the future of Agile Marketing.
Well, I'm excited to see people talking about it as you are as well. I mean, John and I have been podcasting for, you know, we were podcasting for almost 2 years before, you know, we did 15 or 16 of them, and the struggle we had was finding people to interview.
Yeah.
You know, we were pretty focused on interviewing practitioners over pundits, you know, people who actually were doing it rather than people who are talking about it. And it seems like in any movement, any new movement that's coming up, the ratio of people who are doing versus people who are talking. And early on, there's a lot of people talking about it. If you think about cloud computing or big data or social media, you know, there's a million people talking about, but not that many people are really doing it.
Right.
So the thing I'm excited about is to see more people kind of poking their head up and saying, hey, I'm practicing Agile.
Yep. Yeah,
John and I spent forever trying to chase down people, and you know, it would be a Herculean effort just to get people, and now people are poking their head up. So that's the thing that I'm most excited about. I still think we're in a situation where is it solving one of the top three problems that the CMO has in most companies? I don't know. Mm-hmm. It comes down to, for me, it's just the way I operate. But when you look at the way that most bigger companies operate, they rely on their agencies. The agencies are, you know, their whole business model is waterfall. And, you know, big companies tend to operate in waterfall ways. It's going to take a pretty courageous CMO to make that change and force their agency and force their team to kind of shift gears and go that way.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's an interesting challenge because, as you say, it may not be the top three things that a CMO is facing.
Right.
On the other hand, without almost that change in process and values and attitude, you might not get the three things done, you know?
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. I mean, I pitched South by Southwest a couple of years ago to do a talk on Agile and marketing and social media, and it was crickets. And, you know, I don't know what it is, whether it's not pitching it the right way or not telling the story, or marketers, I think, inherently really get excited about the creative part of it. And the numbers are there, and it's almost like, I don't want to say a distraction, but what are all the major marketing awards out there? They're all almost always based around creative.
Right.
And they're not as often based on, you know, you go to any of the awards, and I've been victim of this in companies when we work with agency where they did the award-winning campaign that did squat for results. So I don't know the easy answer to it. I'm excited to see people talking about it because I think that's the first step. And people who are doing it, it's a big company, small company, is the same conversation that John and I have had many times. I think it's going to probably be bottom up. I think it was smart to do the Sprint Zero event out in San Francisco because you've got a lot of smaller companies, a lot of innovative companies. Not that we don't have small innovative companies here in Boston, but I think that, I don't know, I think culturally, I don't know, maybe it's, this is a stereotype, but in the Valley, it's just a lot more wide open in some ways. And, you know, you get a lot, it's just a bit more an entrepreneurial kind of place. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned South by Southwest. I think this last year there was a, you know, a presentation on agile marketing, or at least there was a part of one that involved.
Yeah, and I know Yasha was on the panel, and he said it was interesting. It was positioned as agile marketing, but I guess that, you know, it was one of those interesting things that early in any technology evolution, like cycles, if you read any like Abernathy or Utterback or any of the classic technology adoption life cycle stuff, the dominant design maybe hasn't yet emerged for agile and marketing. That, and you know, what people were calling agile marketing. I know you probably do this as well. I've got Twitter searches set up, and I've got Google alerts set up, and what people are calling agile marketing versus what is agile marketing. You know, it's funny. I mean, there's an agency, I believe it's a SEO agency called Agile Marketing, and there's, you know, you see people talking about what is agile marketing, but it's like agile is like, well, I want to be faster. You know,
yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure that the average CMO would say, yeah, I'm in favor of marketing being more agile.
Yeah.
But, you know, to do agile with a, you know, capital A versus being agile with a small A, if you said to them, okay, great, let's kill the marketing plan. Let's, you know, let's do 3-4 week sprints and, you know, and no campaign, no long-term campaign planning. That would be heresy.
Yeah.
That would just be, well, I think it would really challenge some deeply held beliefs that most of us, I think it was, David Meir Scott, we had on an early podcast, and he said, most of us in marketers, and he was dating us guys who've been in marketing for more than 20 years, and saying in the we were all brought up in a campaign, kind of in a going to war in a campaign environment. So we think in terms of first we plan the landing, then we land, you know, it's already in fire kind of thing. And agile doesn't always play that way. And I think most of the media, I mean, being in a startup environment, I mean, a large percentage of my leads come in over the web via some downloadable viral software we have and some other stuff. And it's not linear. It's not that much of a campaign other than the, we certainly do webinars once a month, and we've got a couple programs that run more campaign-oriented. Most of the stuff I do today, 80 to 90% of the stuff that generates leads for me and builds interest is nonlinear.
Right.
It just is. So agile works just so much better in that environment.
Yeah.
And you see it. I mean, or some of the early blog posts you've probably read as well were on ClickZ and Search Engine Land, and because it was the online guys who it made a lot of sense to them. It just completely worked for them.
Yeah. So
completely
I'm a
worked.
Big admirer of David Meerman Scott as well, and because I think he gets it. He gets this idea of, you know, real time marketing, and, you know, the rules have changed, and, you know, you can't take something where all the rules have changed. Let's just apply the same old
same management paradigm.
And so I think that's part of what appeals to me about agile marketing, is that it is a way to address this sea change in our challenges in marketing, because it is different. I mean, who would have written a 6-month marketing plan 6 months ago and said, oh, we're going to do this with Pinterest, you know? I mean, 6 months ago, if you knew about Pinterest, you were a woman in crafts or something like that.
Totally. The thing that I find really interesting, and maybe you have some thoughts about this as well, because I know you've been writing a little about the lean startup and some of that stuff. And it seems like, it's funny, I have this sort of fragment of a blog post sitting in, I have about 100 of them sitting in my Evernote, but one of them was talking about kind of an inventory of all of the different movements that are out there. Because there's one guy, and you've probably seen it, who's doing like House of Quality for marketing, and then there's obviously the lean startup guys, and then Forrester has something that's sort of in the real time, but it's something in the real time marketing. It's their own kind of
got another name for it,
Forrester something TM, you know, and you see somebody, and IDC went and did a report. I had met with Rich Fansel and a couple of the other guys there, and Jerry Murray, and they did a report. And they tried to do a report on agile marketing, you know, 2 years ago, and they just couldn't find anyone to interview.
Right.
So, and they were saying, well, you know, this is interesting. It's new, it's fresh. And I went out to San Jose to an event where they were trying to bring some people together. And it was just, it was like too early. It was way too early. So I guess, long story short, I think the dominant design hasn't quite emerged. I think it's smart that people are starting to put stuff together. I don't know if a manifesto is the thing. I think it's great that people are trying to put together, build some consensus around it. But you know, we talked about this early in the Sprint Zero process. Is it a manifesto? Is it guiding principles? Is it, what is it? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's an interesting, I think that at some point, I'm wondering when some of the Scrum Masters will gravitate this way. And then it becomes a little interesting, because then we might get that cross-pollination between, you know, the development side, the real guys who are real agile practitioners, and the guys like us who are trying to figure out how it fits and how it works. And it's not exactly the same. I mean, developers and marketing guys are just the DNA is different. It's
it's
a very different view of the world.
Well, there is, but at the same time, I think there is this synergy that happens if you can get, you know, the development team on an agile, you know, methodology and the marketing
team.
Totally. And I think there's something that happens there. Yeah, I don't know if it's a manifesto, it's principles or whatever. I kind of have this personal belief that once we have a tool that is a specific agile marketing tool and that it's selling and getting some traction and that company gets bought by somebody or whatever, that's when we'll know that we've arrived, okay? So that's my personal belief about what the signal is going to be that agile marketing is.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, HubSpot obviously is a practitioner and they've got their platform, and, you know, Marketo, talked to John Miller, I believe they're practicing as well. They've certainly, that was the conversation we had with him. I'm wondering, you know, those products don't work off of an agile workflow. They don't have any of it built in. You're right. I wonder, is it going to be a separate product?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I think of them as marketing automation. And,
right.
And I had this discussion with a guy today from What's Next, which is another newer marketing automation tool.
Right.
And, you know, we had this discussion about, well, is that an agile marketing tool or is it a marketing automation tool? And I think it'll be interesting to see, will it be, you know, will the marketing automation tools modify to take kind of an agile marketing approach, or will there be separate tools? I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Or will, I was thinking about this at Novell, because we had a tool that they had used for managing their scrums and stuff, and I started to look at that as a potential way. I mean, to be honest, I mean, I'm a Google Docs guy, so it's it's duct tape and bubble gum, and that's you know, again, it's dominant design has not yet emerged, so that's people like you and me. That's kind of the way we operate early on.
Yeah.
In some ways, the tool's less important. I know that marketers want a tool, and mainstream guys are going to want something that's shrink wrapped that has a manual, and they can go to a training course for it and all that stuff before it, I guess, gets fully adopted. But right now, I don't know, it just sort of feels like trying to explain it to people is, boy, you know, and especially we could talk for hours. I mean, on the agency side, that's going to be a really tough nut to crack.
Yeah,
really,
that's
really tough nut
different.
To crack.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. But it's all great. I mean, I can't believe how it's just been so exciting to see all the conversations rolling, and I'm looking forward to the next, you know, big batch of stuff that's coming down the pipe, because I think there's a lot of benefit to it, whether it's agile, you know, as a project management, or agile marketing, or agile as a subset of one of these other general approaches. The benefits are there, and I think it's just going to take time for people to, the case studies to rack up, and for people to really, you know, I guess it comes back to reference stories and case studies and the dominant design again to emerge, which I think is, you know, is slowly happening.
Yep. Well, going back to the beginning of our conversation, it's those early projects and the proof being in the results that's really going to make it happen. So
totally, totally.
Well, Frank, it's been a real pleasure, and I need to let you get back. I know it's late on the East Coast, so thanks so much for doing this, and I really appreciate it. Okay.
Well, the pleasure is mine. Thanks, Jim.
Okay.